Amen. So good to see some of our sons and daughters in here, huh? Yeah, yeah. Wave, sons and daughters, wave. Yay! Jacob, you're living hope. Emeryville. Oh. I meant SF, sons and daughters, SF. I'm so happy to be here. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I was in the Philippines. So before I preach, I'll just give you a quick update. But before that, tonight, sons and daughters, what time? 5:30 coffee, right? So they're here this morning. So rest of us, Emeryville, join us, right? 5:30 coffee, and service starts at 6. You know, we don't get to really, Emeryville, we don't get a chance to visit them that much because, you know, we have the service same time. So this is such an opportunity and a privilege for Emeryville to join our SF campus and worship together, right? So at the Verde Club, if you need any directions or talk to any of our sons and daughters. Sons and daughters, wave again. Look, okay? These people, you could talk to them. All right? Okay. So this is not part of my sermon time, so don't put this, okay? Okay, save my sermon time for my sermon. So I came back. I went to Philippines. Let me just update you. Devin's been there about 8 months, and she just couldn't get things moving forward. So she needed some help. And she's been alone for 8 months, right, without any living hopers. So I got to go, you know, encourage her and spend time with her, love on her, and pray with her. And praise God, in 5 days, everything is set. Right? So in Oroma, I told you, this is the biggest slums in the whole wide world. I've been to South Africa. I've been to, you know, the dumps in Mozambique, Africa, to Ghana. I've been to Mexico. You know, recently we just came back from Mexico Dumps Ministry. There's nothing like it. Who would have thought it would, the most poverty that I would see would be in Philippines? Because Philippines is so open, right? So in the Dondo area, Aroma and Happy Land is like about few hundred thousand people, thousands of people live together in poverty. And so what happened was we actually hired a social worker that's going to help us fill out paper. And then we have a committee of 11 mothers. Okay, these are mothers that live inside of Aroma in the slums that in tears volunteered and said, I want to be in this committee to give birth certificates to these kids in the slums so that they could have a future, so they could go to school. These mothers have nothing. And we did some drama there. So our director that we're going to work with, Thomas, he's like, will you be willing, even if it's not for your own child? For a child that you don't know, will you be willing to give up your time, right? And they stood up. They said yes, right? And then Bulacan is another slums where they relocated all the people from Smoky Mountain to this place called Bulacan. And so even there, 12 mothers volunteered. So we have two big committees of mothers from these slums that's going to be hands and feet for Devin. So they're going to do all the work. They're going to, you know, they're going to get all the, you know, they're going to research and they're going to make a list. And when Devin goes in, they're going to take her to each shack to meet them. Devin just has to take pictures and then get all the information. And Devin's going to work with the social worker to give birth certificates to these children. Amen, yeah. And you know what's amazing is when I was sharing this with in Bulacan, these mothers were crying. And they were saying, like one mother, tears were just streaming down. And she's like, I have 3 children that do not have birth certificates. Because in Philippines, you can't go to school without a birth certificate, even if public school is free. Right? And they're stuck in this cycle of poverty. And, you know, the way we presented it was, we're not going to document your kids, but you're going to help document other children, right? And then at the end, we said, guess what? We're going to start with your kids. And they were just bawling. They were just so thankful and excited. right? So we have enough funds for about 150 kids, and I think within a month or two, that's going to be wiped out, right? So we're going to have to raise more funds. There's about, how many kids did we say? Thousands and thousands of children that need birth certificates. So we're going to do this together. Every child documented. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, now you could give me your attention for my sermon timing. I want you to stand up, open your Bibles. I want you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. I want you to open your Bibles to Numbers 26:56 and Psalm 16:6. Okay, very short. We're going to start with Numbers 26:56. Okay, and then Psalm 16:6. Starting with Numbers 26:56, it says, each inheritance, everybody say inheritance, is to be distributed by lot. Everybody say lot. Among the larger and smaller groups. Okay, flip to Psalm 16:6. Okay. The boundary lines, everybody say boundary lines, have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Everybody say delightful inheritance. And you don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read it to you from Numbers 34, 12b to 13a. It says, this will be your land with its boundaries on every side. Moses commanded the Israelites, assign this land by lot as an inheritance. Everybody said, lot as an inheritance.
Lot as an inheritance.
So, Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of your sons and daughters in this house to see what is in our lot. God, you have given each one of us a portion of kingdom inheritance, Lord. And so many times, God, we're busy looking beyond the boundaries, beyond the borders of the lot, and we lose thankfulness, and we lose joy, and we lose peace. So today, God, will you empower us to see the boundary lines and rejoice and enjoy our lots that you've given us? We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to talk about lots. But, you know, I was telling Benjamin, is it okay that, you know, I could give more of a testimony than a sermon, you know, because I feel like my life is prophetic, and I feel like this word came from what I've gone through this past 1 year. And I was telling Benjamin, I mean, I could make it into a sermon, you know, point A, point B, point C, you know, but I feel like there will be more life. It's more of a testimony. Is that okay with you? And from my testimony of 2016, I pray and believe that you will hear God's Rhema word for your lives. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. Allotted portion. Each one of you, you possess an allotted portion of God's inheritance over your life. No one, everybody say no one.
No one.
No one was given your lot.
That's true.
You understand? Benjamin, stand up. This is my lot. This is my inheritance. God did not give Benjamin as a husband to any one of you. He's mine. He's my lot. But you know what I've realized? That the enemy doesn't want me to enjoy. So he wants me to look beyond my boundaries of my portion. I was like, what if I married a Korean man that had hair on his head? You understand?
Yes.
What if I married a man that loves to run with me, that's athletic, not an artist or a comedian or a worshiper, right? What if I married...
Right,
If the enemy wants me to look beyond my border, and if I look beyond my border, I lose thankfulness and I stop enjoying what is in my lot. You may be seated. This is mine. This is my lot. Huh? Amen? No one. Even if I look beyond what's in my borders and look beyond, oh, I wish. Oh, you bought a house? I want a house. I want a house of my own. And then I look at my own. It's, you know, I don't own it. It's just big, but it's old. You know, every time I flush, I have to push the thing down for 10 seconds. I can't. I want to just walk away. I want to be able to do my business and push and walk away. I don't want to stand there for 10, 15 seconds. And I start looking at what's beyond my borders and what you have. And I'm like, I don't like what's in my lot. And I'm not able to enjoy. The thing is, you don't have what is. But other people would look beyond their borders and look at what's in my lot, and they're like, I wish. I want. Yeah? God has assigned your lot as your inheritance. Numbers 34, I just read it to you. This will be your land. It's your lot. Okay? With its boundaries. You know, I've been thinking boundaries are a gift from God. Sometimes I want to be free and, you know, why do I have to be like this or just enjoy this? Right? But boundaries are for us. It's for our benefit. Because of the boundaries, within the boundaries, we could be free. Because without the boundaries, we don't know what's okay. Huh? You know, glass of wine. What's wrong with that? Right? Nothing? Yeah, nothing. But then, if there's no boundaries of do not get drunk, you understand? If there's no boundaries, you could lose yourself. You could lose what you have in your lot because there's no boundaries. The boundaries are there to protect you, to make you walk in liberty and freedom. Okay? Numbers 26:56, it says, each inheritance is to be distributed. Right? I just see angels just like going before you and just distributing and putting up boundaries. Right? This is so good. You write this one down. Numbers 36:9. It says, no inheritance may pass from one tribe to another. For each Israelite tribe is to keep the land it inherits. I can't transfer this to another lot. Right, right. You understand? Yeah. Do you know how significant that is? That's not bondage. That's inheritance. You understand? I can't look at what is in your lot and want it because it cannot be transferred. But that's gift. That's gift. Psalm 17:17. It says, it was you who set all the boundaries. Sometimes like, why God? Why? But it is him who set the boundaries. You understand? He set the boundaries. Yes. Okay, so this is my testimony. My will and my mind is very strong. Ever since I was young, my mom, my older sisters never had to say, do your homework. When I came home, before I watched a show, before I went outside to play in the playground, I did my homework. Once I did my homework, set him free, Lord. Set him free. Once I did my homework, you understand? Then I played. Well, did I want to do homework? No. But my mind and my will was strong. My parents were divorced. A lot of my friends whose parents were divorced, they got depressed. I'm thinking, what's wrong with you guys? It's life. You know, it's life. I'm all right. You could be okay. You know, my friends needing medication and therapy, I'm like, oh, everything's okay. You know why? Because ever since I was young, my mind and my will was strong. And then we come into sonship to Pastor Daniels. And then he teaches us shift, right? What is truth in the spiritual realm is the big R reality than what you experience in a small R reality. Benjamin and I are fighting. We can't even pray together because he wants to pray and do warfare. And I want to pray and cry because I love Jesus. And we're like, can't we just, you know, enjoy God? And he's like, can't we do the warfare? We used to fight even when we prayed. And we're thinking we're so divided. And Pastor Daniel's like, no, son, you are one, right? So he taught us how to shift out of what feels like division to shift and say we are one and make that a reality. So I'm a pretty strong person. You give me a problem, that's not going to stop me. That's why I went to the Philippines. Devin says it's not happening. It's really hard. No. We're going to make it happen. Amen. Right? And we made it happen. Yeah. Right? Nothing's going to stop. Strong. Well, you know what I realized? End of last year to most of, well, not anymore. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Up until I left for Philippines this whole year, I felt so weak emotionally. You hear me? I felt so weak. I couldn't shift. I would get negative thoughts about my husband, about Alethea, about our leaders, right? About where we are as church, about Robinson family, you know? And my son family always wanting to do family gatherings at my house. Before, that was joy. But for some reason this year, I'm like, no. Do it at your house. And then, you know, before they would pressure me, not by saying we must do it. Like, it would be so nice. If, like, before, I'm like, I shift, you know, I got to serve. Okay. Even if I didn't want to, I would shift and I do it. This year, I couldn't. I just couldn't shift, Caroline. I just couldn't. I was sad. I felt betrayed. I felt alone. Sometimes I didn't want to pray. Me, the prayer warrior, right? And I found myself. And then I'm talking to family members and leaders, and what's coming out of my mouth, I didn't like. After, like, conversations, I'm thinking, why did you say that? You know, it's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to talk like that anymore. I'm not going to talk negative anymore. And then next person I talk to, right? And then I walk in, why did you say that? Why are you like that? Why can't I shift? And then the enemy's like, you're a failure. You know, all those people that left Living Hope, it's because you're a bad pastor. You don't know how to disciple people. You know, the every empty seat represents your failure. And I'm like, right? And I'm like, I knew it in my head. I just couldn't shift. But every time, and so I blamed it on perimenopause. And you've been hearing me. Wherever I, Hong Kong, wherever I go, I bring awareness to this perimenopause. Because people don't, you all don't know. You call your mother and say sorry. I don't care how crazy she was. She was going through. It was hormonal. It wasn't her fault. But you know what I realized? I keep hearing God saying, this is my gift to you. God, I sound pretty ridiculous. You know, like this, when I talk to people, it's like that, that betrayal, resentment, negativity. I'm like, this is pretty bad. And God, you're saying this is gift? Every time, every single time, I felt like I was just on the pit, on the bottom of the pit. Woe is me. God, I hear God saying, this is my gift to you. I believe it, but I just didn't know how to make it into an experience of a gift. So, as I told you, I'm strong. So I never asked Pastor Daniels for a one-on-one meeting. Benjamin, on the other hand, right? Every week he has to go meet with him. Me, last time I asked for a meeting was like 3 years ago, right? And so before, earlier, I was like, Pastor Daniels, I need to meet with you. He's like, I'll be right over. He's like, Sonny, you want to meet with me? He came early in the morning the next day. And I told him this, Pastor Daniels, I know you taught us how to shift. I know the truth. Before, I was able to shift. Now, I can't shift. I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I don't like me. I don't like him. I don't like anybody. I don't even know if I like God. But I don't know how to shift. But God is saying, he keeps saying it's a gift. Help me how to turn this. Help me how to experience this as a gift. And as we started talking, he started to tell me about emotions. And that's why, remember a few weeks ago, he came and preached restoration of the soul. That sermon actually came out of my talk with him. And he said, Sonny, all your life, and we've been teaching our people in the name of shifting, which is good. We still need to shift. We can't subject ourselves to the lies of the enemy. At the same time, though, in the name of shifting, we have suppressed our emotions, which is one third of who we are. Will, mind, emotions. I feel sad. Shift. Right? I'm angry. I don't like her. Shift. You love her. Okay, I shift. I love Sharon. Right? Even though I'm feeling these negative feelings. Be quiet, emotions. Put it, you know, like, bam, right? Be quiet. And Pastor Daniel taught me that I've been abusing one third of who I am. You know what we do? Emotions. We don't know how to express it well. And so we get resentful. We get angry, right? And so we think the only thing, Christian thing to do is shut it down. And then we go, we shift, and we say, even though I'm feeling like, right? We say, we're just trying so hard in our mind, but then it's never taken care of.
That's right.
We think because we didn't know how to do it, we had to shut it down. But Pastor Daniels was saying, it's time for you to acknowledge. You know what? You've been hurt. You know what? You're sad. Express it. Express it. And he's saying, God's been working on me too. And I've been, and this is Pastor Daniels, you know, I've been going before God. And God's saying, release it. Pour it out to me. Because if you don't learn how to pour your emotions out to God, you're going to pour it out on others that do not deserve it. Right? Being angry at your husband, your daughter, right? Your parent. When they really didn't cause, it's because we've been suppressing. And I think what Pastor Daniel said was so amazing. He said, you know, we don't know how to be drawn to the Holy Spirit, right? Because our spirituality isn't about discipline. From 6 to 7, I pray, right? And we feel like that's the only way we know how to strengthen our spirituality. And what he was saying, no, I don't discipline my spirituality. I'm drawn. But you don't know how to be drawn when the Holy Spirit is drawing you, because you've learned so much to shut your emotions down. But in your emotions is the discernment. In your emotions is a desire that's awakened when the Holy Spirit is drawing you. But you've been shutting your emotions down, that when the Holy Spirit is drawing you, you easily shut it down and say, nah. Or you don't even feel lit. So when we learn how to deal with our emotions, we would learn how to walk with God and be drawn to Him on a day-to-day basis. Now, I feel like God took me through this process past few months to acknowledge, you know what? That was wrong. What was done to me was wrong. But you know what my problem was? I was so strong in my mind that, you know what? I made excuses for others that hurt me. You know what? If you were a better leader, if you were a better wife, if you were a better daughter, if you were a better pastor, right? That wouldn't have happened. And because I make that kind of excuse, but then my emotions are feeling all these, you know, betrayal, hurt, alone, anger, right? Yeah. Rejection. But then I make excuses that I'm suppressing it. After a while, it's coming out in all my conversations. And I'm not liking what's coming out. You hear me? But when God said, acknowledge it before me. And when I went before God and said, that was wrong. I was blamed. And that wasn't okay. You know what, God? That really hurt. And when I acknowledged it before God and poured my emotions out before God, He filled it with His presence. He filled me with His healing. You hear me? So powerful, isn't it? You know, I was, so I asked Benjamin, after Philippines, I just need to do some personal spiritual journey on my own. Because I'm so strong in my will and in my mind. Like, sacrificing what I desire, what I want, is so easy for me. For people that I love, for responsibilities. My highest value is responsibility. And so, even if I want to sleep in, but a responsibility arises, I'll just wake up. You hear me? Responsibility led my life, right? And so this season of being weak, when families wanted to do, you know, family stuff at my house, before I'm like, okay, I could cook. Okay, I'll clean. Okay, I'll do it. But this time, I couldn't do it. I was like, no. Sorry. And then I felt really bad. And thank God, Benjamin's like, it's okay. We don't have to do it at my house, right? And then I was like, you know what? I think I need to take a week and indulge me. Love me. You know what I mean? Do something that I want to do and not do what I don't want to do. Can I go shopping for me? Because before this year, I spent 99% of my money on others and maybe 0.01% maybe on me. I said, you know what? And even when we travel and Benjamin wants to stay at a nice hotel, no. Do you know how many orphans we could feed? He wants to buy me a new car. He feels bad. I'm like, no. Do you know how many orphanages we could build with how much you pay for that kind of car? No. Right? But this time I said, no, I want to go for me. Amen. So after Philippines, can I have a week off?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. And he said, yes. And I said, give me a budget. And I'm like scared, right? Give me a budget. He's like, spend whatever you need. No, then I won't be able to spend anything. You got to give me a budget. And so he gave me a budget. On my way from, I slept like maybe 3 hours a day in Philippines. I worked hard. You know, responsibility. I worked hard, right? I pushed Devin. Devin, we're going to do this, right? Poor Devin, she has to still teach class and still wake up early and pray and go into the slums and still teach class and you know, go to meetings, right? Like, I pushed her. On my way to Korea, I was like, God, take away every evil that's inside of me. Because I feel like this year I saw darkness, evil, something that's not pure in me. It's like, take it all, God. Take every desire that does not align with you. Take it out. So my journey was, I want to pour all my painful emotions out to God. Because once I empty it, then when I talk to people, it won't come out. Then I wouldn't hate myself, right? So the 1 week was, I'm going to pour it out all to God, right? And I want God to take every evil out of me. And then I'm going to come back refreshed, as loving as I can be. Mm? Yes. On my way, these two men sat next to me. This thing arose. I hated them. Oh. I didn't know them, but I hated them. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? I don't want this guy's elbow to touch me. You know? And then I'm like fighting this. Oh, I don't like you. You smell. I don't want you to look at me. I don't want you to ask me to get up. Because I like aisle, right? You hold your pee. I don't like you. Right? I was evil. I was like, God, what's wrong with me? Take evil out of me. Right? And then, when we landed, right, I got up because, you know, I got up. I took my bag, and this guy pushed me. There were people in front of me. There were people behind me. He pushed me to the other side of the seat, and he came out, and he took my bag. I was like, there's no way to go to the front or to the back, right? And so now I'm like this to another guy, and I'm like, I hate you, right? And I was like, and I'm doing my best to stand my guy. You are not going to push me from my place. I am not going to move. But he was big and strong, and he pushed me away. And I'm like, I hate you. And then the other guy said, well, you know, we came in last, so we should be able to go out first. He said it out loud. And I wanted to be like, I wanted to cuss. I don't cuss. But at that moment, I wanted to cuss, and I wanted to curse him. I really wanted to bring curse down, and I wanted God to harm him physically. Maybe don't kill him, but almost kill him. But I'm fighting. There's so much hate. And I'm crying because it's not okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't care. I was like walking. God, take every evil out of me. I didn't know because I'm such a nice person. I'm nice. My name is Kind Princess. I was always the good one in class. I was always the angel friend amongst friends. I was always the middle person that brought reconciliation amongst friends and family. You hear me? But this, I didn't know that was in me. Because how can it come out if it was never in me? When I asked God to take evil out, he was really taking evil out. And you know what? I hate spending money on my own. Even mission trip, even vacation, I'm very frugal, right? The best we can get with the least amount of money we could spend, right? McDonald's, I want to eat Big Mac, but then whatever is on the value meal, that's what I usually eat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on, get out of that poverty mindset, right?
Yeah,
but it's like, I gotta save. You know, you don't know what mission trip God's going to call me to go. I got to save for that. You know, people don't support me anymore. I did missions way. First 2 years, everybody supported me. After 7, 8 years, oh, you'll be fine. So I got to save, you know.
Yes.
But you know what I did, guys? I stayed at Sheraton.
That's
4.5 star by myself. You know what else I did, guys? I bought myself a boot, a jacket. I'll wear it next week. It's a nice hipster jacket, right? And usually, you know, I'm there ministering to, you know, these people and that people. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to see you. Don't call me. I'm not here for you. I'm here for me. I'm an extrovert. I need people. But this time, no. No, I want to sleep in. I want to watch TV. I want to go shopping. You know, I want to go eat. That's what I did. I traveled to the island to see my friend that I haven't seen because I was too responsible, right? I visited my college friend. I went to 2 different cities by myself, walked the streets by myself, buy whatever I wanted to eat by myself, right? I did it. Yeah, it was such a freeing experience. But during that time, God started to talk to me. Okay, He started to talk to me about enjoying my lot. And I feel like God is saying, Sunny, and you know, I've been having repeated dreams. Every time I wake up, it's so clear. Like one dream, I had a bowl and it's like some kind of fruit and I've never seen it. And it was so, I could almost taste it even now. I'm like eating, so good, right? And then I wake up, I'm like, what was that? And the next night, right, I'm eating something, so good. I'm like, what is that, right? I keep dreaming about eating. And I'm like, what does it mean? And I feel like God was saying, Sunny, I am entering you into a season where you get to eat the fruit of your labor. Amen. For many seasons, you labored, but you didn't eat. You labored and you gave it away. But in this season, I want you to labor and eat. Not save for the next season. Not save for other people. You're going to eat the labor of your fruit. Right? Fruit of your labor, I mean. And then he started to talk to me about boundary lines. Because, you know, I've been feeling like, why are we still small? You know, why don't we own our own house yet? Why is Alethea this way? Why is Benjamin this way? Why? And why am I still this way? Right? So I've been like really looking beyond, you know, beyond my boundary lines. And I'm like, why am I not there? Why isn't our church there? Why isn't my marriage there? Why isn't my daughter there? Why aren't my leaders there? And so when I look beyond my boundary borders, I cannot eat what's inside of my lot. And so I feel like God was saying, Sunny, look at what's in your lot. No matter how small you are, you could still rejoice in what is in your lot. Eat what's in your lot. Don't push against the boundaries that I have set around you. But within that boundary, you've been neglecting and ignoring this fruit, this inheritance that I've given you. This is good. Do you know how tasteful that is? You need to eat what's in your lot. Even like with my husband's like health, like I'm looking beyond. Why doesn't he exercise? Why doesn't he eat healthy? Why can't he lose weight? Why is his blood pressure still high? I'm still looking beyond. It is what it is. He is who he is right now. Are we going to believe for healthier, skinnier Benjamin? Of course. Right, baby? But if I keep on complaining about his state now because he's not where beyond the borders that I have right now, guess what? I'm not enjoying this delicious fruit Mmm.
Enjoy it.
We've been kissing a lot more.
Amen.
We've been, yeah, a lot more. You hear me? Because I could enjoy what is in my lot now. Our church numbers got smaller after we sent off SF team. We could be like, why can't we fill it? Come on, let's get the momentum up and let's do this. Let's fill it up again. When we look beyond, we can enjoy what's in a lot. Even if we're small now, what the? Wow, look around. That means I have more time with you. And you have more time with her. And you have more time with him. Because if we grew fast, all the leaders, we're going to be busy ministering to and meeting the needs of the newcomers. But right now, we could really enjoy each other.
Amen.
Wow! Yeah. What a blessing! Yeah. I want you to look at, right now, what is in your lot. Instead of being upset and frustrated about the boundaries that keeps you from possessing what you want that you don't have, let's look at what you already have and be thankful. That's what I ask God. God, how do I eat? How do I eat it? Francis, how do I eat from this the fruit of this relationship? How do I eat from the fruit of this relationship with our Japanese elders, whom I love so much that I am so sad I'm going to have to go through another process when you move. Even though you say, and I believe, we're going to have a campus in New York, right? Yeah, right? How do I eat? How do I eat? What is in my lot, in my relationship with the Pats? How do I eat? And you know what God said? Thanksgiving. When you learn to be thankful, you're chewing and you're swallowing. And when you are thankful, thankful that Sharon is in my life, that she's loyal to me, that she doesn't mind driving me anywhere, even if she has to work the next day, who has that kind of friend? I do. And when I'm thankful and I verbalize it before God, and to her, you know what? That thankfulness, I'm eating. And when you eat, the nourishment goes deep inside of your soul. You hear me? But when I complain, why? Why are you still like this? Why don't you know me by now? If you don't know me by now, don't you know? I don't want roses. I want tulips. And I get angry every time he brings me roses. How many times? I even took pictures. Okay, this is the type of flower I want. And the next week, he brings me roses. And if I complain, why do you bring? Why don't you know me by now? You know what? That complaint keeps me from eating the fruit of this relationship. But when I'm thankful that my husband would get up any time of the night, and I use that this week a lot. He had to go to IT. He had to go to In-N-Out. He had to go to McDonald's three times, three nights. I think I've gained like 5 pounds in 1 week. And I'm not pregnant. I'm going through perimenopause. But when I am thankful, God, thank you for giving me a husband that's willing to do that.
Amen.
A husband that says, I'll take care of our daughter. You go. You enjoy yourself. Husband that says, it's okay. Use what's in our savings. When I'm thankful, I'm eating the fruit in my lot. And it nourishes me. And it strengthens me.
Amen.
And it empowers me. You know, this year I met a few different pastors. One pastor you know, was like, you know, I used to want God's presence like that, but not anymore. Another pastor, you know what? I want to find another church. Forget this church. Not us. Not us. This is other pastors, right? And when I hear these struggles of other pastors, for Benjamin and I, no matter what struggles that we go through, this is the place that we always want to be. You know? It's like sometimes the enemy would like really come against me, and sometimes I want to give up doing ministry. I'm going to be real. Sometimes perimenopause makes you want to, like, not want to do anything. But you know what keeps me going? These relationships are too precious. I could never walk away from this relationship. Like, to me, my relationship with our Living Hopers is way too precious. It's life-giving. You know what? I would rather have this than be 2,000, 3,000, and I don't know you, and I don't know how to eat from the fruit of this relationship. You hear me? God is saying, sons and daughters, open your eyes. See what is in your lot. I want you to stand up. I want you to really lift up your hands like this, and like, this represents your lot. What's in your lot? Your husband, your wife, your cousins, your boyfriend, your fiance, your children, your leaders, your team members, your community group leaders, your community group members, your brothers and sisters. Living Hope, this is our lot. Sometimes we may look at church, amazing churches like Bethel, and wish we would be like that. But you know what? This is better. Why? Because you, because of me, because we have covenant relationship. What is in our lot, it can't be transferable. We can't give this to Bethel, and we can't take what Bethel has. You hear me? This is the boundary that God placed in this community. And God says it's pleasant in his eyes. He says it's good. Your husband, maybe you feel like he doesn't know how to love you the way you need to be loved. But you know what? That's the boundary that God placed in your lot. And God is saying, stop complaining, but start enjoying. Start eating the fruit. Start being thankful. So I want to lift it up. Lift up your lot and say, God, I thank you. Come on, open your mouths. Come on, thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for your wife. Thank him for your husband. Ask him, teach me how to eat. Eat the fruit of my labor. Eat the fruit of my relationships, Lord. Spirit of God. Spirit of God, help us. Help us, God. Help us to be thankful for what is in my lot. I want you to open your eyes and look at me one more time. I'm going to end with this before I pray for you. You know what I realized? There are different levels of desires. Materials. You know, nice clothes. You know, iPad. iPhone 7. There's, you know, material desires. And then there's like, you know, maybe physical desires. Healing. You know, we want to look prettier, right? Physical desires. And then there's emotional desires. You want to be happy. You want to be joyful. You want to walk in peace, right? There's relational desires. You want a husband. You want a wife. You want a child. You want to feel connected to your community. And then there's spiritual desires. You know what I realized? At the end of it, these are all layers. And when you go deep, 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 deep within, whether you know it or not, your main core desire is him. Amen. And you try to fill it up with other layers. If I could have this, if I could have a better car, if I could have a better job, if I could just get healed. At the end of it all, I'm not saying neglect all that. When you meet those needs, at the end of it, it's him. The reason for this season What do we say? It's Jesus. You know what I want to ask you? Is will you help your family to direct their gaze upon Jesus in this season? Because sometimes we could get lost in buying gifts. And then you get hurt because they forgot you or they didn't get what you wanted, right? And this it disconnects you from relationship that you're supposed to eat from. Will you refocus? Will you help your families and your friends to gaze, refocus? Because at the end of the core, the bottom desire of everyone is Him. In your lot, you already have Him. Jesus, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you.